Our speaker tonight is Brother Charlie Warman, and the title of his talk tonight is Be Ye Steadfast. He's asked us to read a couple readings, so if you'll turn in your Bibles to Revelation 2, verses 25 through 29. Revelation 2, verse 25 through 29. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the Ephesians. And also 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's give our attention now to Brother Charlie, please.
Be ye steadfast. Steadfast is firm in the belief, determination, or adherence to the loyal and faithful. We're going to look at three aspects of steadfastness in Scripture. Enduring hardship, preserving to the end, and moving forward toward the goal. And notable examples of steadfastness and holding fast. Let us look in 1 Kings of a man of God refusing a reward. Each account we look at is a study and exhortation in themselves. 1 Kings chapter 13. First Kings 13, 1 through 10. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel in Jeroboam, stood by the altar to burn incense. He cried against all the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Joshua by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the name same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became it as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same that thou came. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. And also over to 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. Second Kings 18, the first 8 verses is speaking of Hezekiah. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, of Eli, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old when he was when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, said. He removed the high places and broke the images, and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For until these days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called in the husband. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. And he smote the Philistines even to Gaza and the borders thereof, from the Tower of the Watchman to the fenced city. If we go on over in 2 Kings to chapter 22, the first two verses, we read of Josiah as the king of Jerusalem. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. If we go over to Job, I go to the 23rd chapter. He's talking about Job and his religious life. And let's go to Job 23 and start at verse 8. Job 23 starting at verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him, he hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of the lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than any necessary food. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him of what his soul desires, even that he doeth? For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled as his presence when I consider. I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Behold, I was cut off before the darkness. Neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. In the next chapter, Job 27, the first 8 verses. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul? All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. Let thine enemy be as the wicked, and that riseth, he that riseth up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. We know the account of, in Hebrews, the three Hebrew captives, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is found in Daniel 3. We know that Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold for people to fall down and worship when they heard the music. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Let's pick up in Daniel, the third chapter. Daniel 3 verse, I'm having a hard time reading up here. Let's pick up at Daniel 3 verse 12 till the 30. There are certain Jews whom have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto him, It is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that thou shalt deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer these in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, and not worship his golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded, and they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these three men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the burning furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar was astounded, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, Did not we cast these three men bound into the midst of fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the seed of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came forth to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the prisoners and the princes, governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power. No was a hair on their heads sealed, neither their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered the servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak my thing amiss against the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other god that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And as we, let's turn over to the fourth chapter of Acts, where we read of Peter and John before the council. And we'll just read Acts 4, 5 through 20. Then Peter, I'll start five, verse five. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "But what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to you that to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by his death, this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were not unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, they that had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with him, that they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For they indeed a noble miracle have been done by them. By them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them, that they may speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called him and commanded him not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John so answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right to the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak these things which we have seen and heard." Going to Acts 20, we read of Paul in finishing his course in Acts 20 verses, starting at verse 7. Yeah, excuse me, I'm having a little hard time reading up here. Acts 20, starting at verse 7. "And upon the first day of the week, when the apostles came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embraced him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Wherein therefore was come upon again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of the day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And we went before to the ship, and sailed into Athos, there intended to take on Paul, for he had been appointed, minding himself to go ahead. And when he met with us at Athos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogmilium. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted. If it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem today, it would be possible. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to Ephesus. And when they were come to him, he said unto him, ye know from the first day that I come into Asia, after what manner I have seen you in all seasons. Serving the Lord was that humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait for the Jews, and how I kept back with nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews, also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound into the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which thou shalt befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these shall move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare you all the counsel of God. Take ye therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. Lo, feed the pleasure of God which hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples among you. Therefore watch and remember that the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you with all things that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And when they all swept sword, fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship. And back in Luke, let's turn back to Luke, chapter 9. Luke 9, and we're going to read from 51 to 62, starting at 51. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked him, saying, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in this way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will not follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid thee farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And one more on that is Acts 2. Acts 2, starting in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. As of many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking the bread and prayers. And fear come upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one record in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and had favor with all people. And the Lord added to thee daily such as to be saved. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And Elpis, Israel, let the zealots first cast out the beam out of their own eyes, and they will seek clearly to cast out the mote from the eyes of others. If they will not keep the day of the Lord, let them believe and obey the gospel of the kingdom in the name of Jesus. And then continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers on the first day, and cease from the works of sinful flesh every day of the week. That will doubtlessly delight in the Lord, and invite upon him the high places of the earth. Then feed with the heritage of Jacob in the kingdom of God, as the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Read Acts 2:42 again. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. Steadfastness also entails enduring hardships, as we find in Hebrews in the 12th chapter, first two verses. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Christ also tells his 12 apostles of persecutions in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew 10, starting at verse 6, starting at verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Be that when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child and the children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Let's turn to the first chapter of James. Same one. We'll start at verse 1, go through 12. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that you shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of lower degree rejoice in he that is exalted, but enrich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but is withered the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perished. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And over in the fifth chapter of James, start at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Be ye patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold the judge standing before the door. Take my brother the prophet, who has spoken in the name of the Lord, for example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted for spiritually ailing? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the ecclesia, and let them pray over you, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and he hath committed sins. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one to another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we were, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and word one convert him, turn back again. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from the death, and shall hide a multitude of men. We also can understand that steadfast entails persevering to the end. Job 17:9, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands be stronger and stronger. If we turn over to John 15, or back to John, I should say. John 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast as a branch, and he is withered. And men gather round him, and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall not ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you continue. Love you continue, ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my house, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants know not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. First Peter 1:13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought, and unto you at the revelation of Christ. Let's turn to the third chapter of Revelation, please. Revelation 3, starting at verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hath not denied my name. Behold, I will make thee of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved them. Because they have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep them from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh him will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write unto him my new name. And as we read, as we are steadfast in our belief, we must be moving forward to the goal that is in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And in Philippians 3:14, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We offer comfort to be heirs with Jesus of the kingdom of God. We are taught to look to the coming of Christ and to the resurrection as the time of a reunion with our brethren in the faith. At death we rest from the labors and the works which follow us. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin to salvation. Hebrews 9:28. We read in Thessalonians, we give thanks always to God for you all making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor, of love and patience, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, the election of God. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of the deity and into patient waiting for the anointed. Paul taught, this will come to pass with the consummation of an apostasy which would be perfected under the man of sin, and that when this power should be fully matured, then the Lord Jesus could be apocalypsed to destroy it and be glorified in his saints. All who are taught of God understand this and earnestly desire the event because they know there is no salvation for the Jews. The promises are those who love his return. Paul teaches us distinctly. There is laid up, says he, a coronal wreath of righteousness for all them who love his appearing. And as we read, as we have read before, to them we look for him. He shall appear a second time without sin and salvation. Only those who are watching steadfastly and prepared to share in the salvation. May we approach with a true heart in full conviction of faith and hold firmly the confession of the hope.